What is up? Welcome back to the Power Player Podcast. Today, I'm going to talk to my good buddy, Mr. Roy Snar, on one specific detail, by the way. Here's what you want to listen to this, okay? You're running appointments. You're talking to people on the phone. Big question is, bro, how do I find the money? What questions do I ask? What do I look for? If you would love to eventually evolve into writing and selling bigger cases, then Roy Snar Retirement Solutions is here for you. What is up, Mr. Roy Snar?
Man, just rocking and rolling. It's been a great start of the year. The best start we've ever had.
Dude, let's go, man. I love hearing that. Here's one thing I wanted to jump out to get everybody's attention. And again, we'll go 10, 15, 20 minutes. Very tactical training today. What is your average commission per sale?
About $7,500.
Okay, so if you're hearing that, you're like, $7,500? What? And Roy wouldn't say to do anything different. He would just say to locate money when you're talking to people, when you're running your life insurance appointments, when you're running your Medicare appointments, talking to your PNC clients, whatever. So Roy, welcome back. I'm excited to talk through this topic with you.
Awesome. Me too. I always love sharing what it took me so long to figure out to do. And we're still always improving on our processes. But if I can share a little bit of insight and an agent can pick up on it and then help transform their clients' lives and their own personal financial lives, that's awesome. That's what I want to try to do today.
Dude, I love that. And so do they need to be doing anything different than what they're already doing?
Not necessarily. So a lot of times you get people that mainly just sell Medicare, or they mainly just sell final expense or mortgage protection, or they're a focus on IULs, or they're just focused on annuities. But there's so many other lines of coverage that we can offer them, the clients, and opportunities for the agent. And it's a win-win situation, but we get monoline focused, right? Then that's a common challenge. I mean, I had the same thing. In the very beginning, I'd only sell life insurance. That's it. I wouldn't think about long-term care. I wouldn't think about annuities or any other type of like short-term plans or ancillary insurances. I'd only focus on life insurance. And I left so much money on the table, and they exposed a lot of the clients I was helping to other risks that my current policies I was offering them weren't covering. But once I started learning how to cross-sell, how to ask different questions, different doors started opening up, then I was able to go back to my clients that I had already sold to, which is the easiest resale because you already have the relationship, and say, oh, hey, by the way, you know, this is something else that I also offer and that I also do to help clients. Let's have a visit together. And so that's what, when I started learning how to cross sell and learning about the different opportunities, that's where my business exploded.
Yeah. Well, that's cool too, because most people are like, okay, I don't understand everything yet. You don't have to understand everything yet. You can keep it really simple. Yep. You keep doing the same thing. Also, if you care about your clients, and cool, what Roy just said is true. Like when they've already given you their trust in the form of buying a product from you, then they're more likely to do it again all day.
Yeah, 100%. So it's all about asking the questions. A lot of agents, they're intimidated because they may not know that line of coverage. Take long-term care or annuities, for example, and they're selling life insurance predominantly. Well, if they were just to ask and discover the assets that are there, they don't have to have all the answers. They don't have to whip out a quote on top of their head. They could say, great, let me collect this information. Let me take it back to my office, review some options for you, and let's schedule another visit here in the next week or two or a couple of days. That way you're buying yourself time. People don't expect you to say, oh, here's my portfolio, and then tell me what I should do with it. It's like, well, I need some time. Because if you rush it and just automatically throw out an answer, it could be kind of a red flag. Like, this is my life savings and you already have a solution for it. You haven't looked at anything. You haven't asked us all the questions. So as long as they can collect the financial information, just collecting it, and that's simply asking questions, they can gather that data and then they can take it back, either work with a mentor, their upline, whomever, Google, call the insurance companies, whatever they need to do to craft a plan to come back to the client and to present that plan to the client.
Yeah. Text Roy on his cell phone, whatever.
Yeah, that happens a lot. I get agents calling and texting all the time. What do I do with this? I'm like, okay, let's schedule a visit together Saturday at 2 a.m., you know?
Well, that is cool though, like, because you actually do help when they find big opportunities, you help agents with cases as well.
We do. And,
in a few different ways, which is cool. Yeah.
We keep it open for them too. Like, you don't have to have contracting with us. We help agents that are in different organizations that are very happy with where they're at. We respect those relationships. They just need some coaching to some guidance, and we'll either give them that coaching and guidance, or they'll want us to speak directly with their client. And then we'll do like a group Zoom call or three-way phone call. And then we can still do like commission splits. Even if you're in different hierarchies, that doesn't matter as long as you're licensed.
Wow.
I like that, dude. That's cool.
It's a win-win for a lot of agents because they want to stay in their lane and stay focused. They may be hyper successful with Medicare, for instance, but they don't want to try to learn something new, but they also want to service their client and then not leave money on the table. So they'll refer it to an expert team, such as our team. And we do the full cycle with the client and they're literally on the application as the writing agent. We're just the back end agent. They get paid directly from the carrier. Everything's transparent. The client's taken care of. They have another link to their division, which is us on the asset protection side. So it can be a complete win-win. And some of the ways that we tee it up back to your original question of how to find the money, you got to find a door opener, right? If you just go in there and you're talking about, okay, here's your supplement versus advantage plan. By the way, do you want to buy an annuity? Whoa, that's way too much, right? Like you got to kind of ease into it and have a conversation. So you always got to find a door opener. Well, with Medicare, for example, I'll drop a few door openers real quick. With Medicare, for example, you can just say, simply say, hey, look, let's take a look at some of the areas where Medicare doesn't cover. And that can be hearing, dental, vision, depending on what type of Medicare plan you're selling, but more importantly, long-term care. And so you start talking about long-term care, which is either based generally nowadays versus traditional. It's either based on a life insurance chassis or an annuity. Maybe you're going in there and you're talking to the folks about Social Security planning. How do you fill the gap if someone passes in a husband and wife situation? That's a missing income stream. They only get to keep one check. Why not another annuity that's mimics what Social Security does, but you can personally own it? So these are different little door openers. Even if I'm selling life insurance, what I used to always do, and this is very classic, a lot of us use this in the industry, I'd be like, Cody, what do you have that can act like life insurance? So if something, God forbid, happened to you today, what do you have financial-wise resources that can be passed down to your heirs so they can still maintain their lifestyle? And then people will automatically, well, I have an IRA, I have a 401k, I have a Roth, I have a checking savings. You start gathering all of this information, right? And then that way it better positions you to help them. After you help them with that life insurance sale, for instance, you could go back and say, you know, by the way, you mentioned you had these other assets and that they were involved in the markets. Have you ever thought about a safe money strategy with a portion of some of those funds? Oh, what do you mean by that? Now I'm already into the conversation and I've already helped them with what I was originally there for. I'm not bait and switching. I'm not hopping all over the board. I focus on the main tasks, either Medicare, life insurance, whatever it may be, gather the information to give the best recommendation, take that information back to my lab, my office, and then set up a scheduled follow-up visit to go over some of their options to enhance the other parts of their financial life.
That's good, dude. I love that. That makes perfect sense too. I like how you're leading into that, right? I hope you are hearing some of these questions that you have to be taking notes and writing down. Again, very tactical information. What do you look for? Like, are there certain responses that you're getting to some of these questions where you're like, oh, that's a good one?
A lot of times you got to fill out the conversation with people, right? And everybody's different. That's why there's, in my opinion, there's not a script to use. You can have a general guideline of the questions you're going to ask, but everybody's going to respond differently. So, and this comes with experience as well. The more and more people you sit in front of, you'll start being able to read people, kind of feel the energy into the room. And then, you know, some people are going to be more reluctant to give information. So there's other ways that you can gather that information without being as direct. Take Medicare, for example. It may be awkward for an agent selling Medicare to say, what's in your 401k? A lot of Medicare agents say, well, why would that even be relevant? Well, let me tell you why that's relevant. In order to do proper Medicare planning for them, you need to let them be aware of IRMA and the penalties. And the RMDs, required minimum distributions from retirement accounts, those count as ordinary taxation, which can increase the IRMA. It's better for that client to be aware. So when you're doing comprehensive Medicare planning, you want to say, now, look, once you hit a certain age, right now it's 73 for most people. Once you hit 73, you're going to be forced to take withdrawals from retirement accounts. And that distribution, if it's coming from an IRA, for instance, is going to be ordinary income tax. And that can increase your Part B and your Part D premiums. So let me ask you this, Cody. If you were to take 4% out today of your qualified assets, how much income would that be? And I'll let you know if you're going to have an IRMA penalty. Now, I didn't ask what's in your 401k.
That's a freaking great question.
Yeah.
Then you know you can literally take whatever they give you times 25 or divide it by 4% and you will get the bigger number of what's in there. That's freaking smart. Adorable.
So if they say 20,000, well, okay, cool. We know that they have about 500,000. If they say 40,000, we know they have about 1 million. And I didn't ask for the balance. I just asked what would that distribution be in order to help them with Irma. So that's a whole list of these things. We train our agents on it because it's just conversation. And you have to feel it out. Some people you can be very upfront and direct with and just ask, okay, well, what do you have, right? But other people you might have to skate around it a little bit to get that information. And then you could always follow back up. Okay, by the way, out of those assets, you know, how much of that is exposed to risk? Have you thought about creating an RMD strategy with it, an income plan strategy with it, and so forth?
Also, Irma sounds like a hurricane. What is Irma?
Well, in summary, there's two people in the family that nobody likes. And I always joke around. I talk about this in my seminars. And I say, now, if you're one of these names, you're the exception. But there's Maggie and Irma. Maggie is your modified adjusted gross income, which is a special calculation the IRS uses to determine what your Irma is. And basically, Irma is like, based on a certain amount of income that you have, if you exceed that limit, your Medicare Part B premium starts increasing. From like 170 and change to 200, 34, it can go all the way up. So if somebody converts an IRA to a Roth, that triggers an income. If they sell properties and they don't do the taxes correctly, or depending on the value of the properties and the basis, Irma looks at everything comprehensively. Because what they're saying is, if you earn too much money in retirement, you should pay more into Medicare than somebody else that doesn't pay into Medicare. That's essentially what it is in a nutshell.
It's the evil sister. Yeah.
Pretty much. I mean,
it stands for Emergency Retired Modified Account. No, just kidding. Exactly. I made that up. Those who are listening, do not listen to me on this topic. Just listen to Roy. Okay.
Exactly.
Okay, cool, dude. I like how you, how did you get so smart and understand this world? Because I'll guarantee you, we're going to have a bunch of agents that are going to watch this. They're going to put in the comments and be like, either Roy's a genius or he's too smart, or I want to be wealthy like Roy, or whatever.
A lot of it's just trial and error and banging my head against the wall. And by the way, if anybody's really curious, it's income related monthly adjustment amount.
So it was an I and not an E. There you go.
Irma. Yeah. But anyways, a lot of this I just learned through, not getting what I wanted out of the client situation. I'd help them. I'd be like, wow, these people are very affluent. They're wealthy. And I sold them a $500,000 term. And I know they need more. But the only reason why I sold that to them is because that's what they told me they wanted. I was just an enroller, right? An order taker. In order to help people the best and for you to become an expert in your field, you need to be able to properly give them advice. And so I started really mastering the products and understanding them and how much coverage somebody should have and shouldn't have. And that really helped me develop the conversations. And that would practice all these different questions I would ask them. I learned from other people. I mean, everything in this business is borrowed, right? These different phrases of, hey, what if you took 4% out? What would that equate? And then as you get better and better and understand the systems more and the financial structures, then you can be even more creative with your questions in order to get those numbers without directly asking them. So a lot of it was just failure and not getting the success that I wanted and learning the hard way. Like, as I mentioned before on multiple channels of ours, it took me 5 years to hit the 6-figure mark in this business. A lot of people hit it way faster. I was a slow learner. somebody I know.
That's good, dude. That's cool. Yeah. And I like that you're open about that, and it gives people hope. If you guys are listening, you're like, dude, here's an example. People can relate to my story, but most people don't make 6 figures the first year. Dude, Roy took him 5, he went to school in Texas. They do everything a little slower. It's okay.
Exactly.
But at the end of the day, dude, there's a bunch of people that are going to be like, you know what? That makes sense. I like what Roy's saying. And dude, if he's making them over $1 million a year doing this and it took him 5 to figure it out, don't quit so soon. Mm-hmm. Like, you can get really good at this thing too. And you can end up helping some big freaking clients just like Roy. And I like that you didn't have success, man. I don't know that you have like the cool homeless story, but you at least took you 5 years to figure it out. That's great.
I slept in my truck for a little bit, but I always had a place to go if I really needed to. It wasn't quite.
Okay. All right.
I wasn't holding a sign up saying, please buy life insurance from me. I
homeless to millionaire. Boom.
Yeah, there we go. The other thing too, I wanted to mention, there was a little book called the Little Red Sales Book. And it's from the $1 Million Roundtable. And if you're not a part of that organization, you should definitely aim to be. But if you just go to their website, you can buy it. It's like 15 or 20 bucks. It's a little tiny booklet, like this big, but it has all kinds of great one-liners for insurance. And that's where I learned a lot of the information that I have today. I read that book inside and out. Mm-hmm. There's highlighters, there's, you know, circles and notes all in it. I just basically memorized that book, and then I could throw out one-liners, just like the 4%, or, you know, you're going to spend the money anyway. If you're going to invest, you know, buy term and invest the difference, why are you driving a Mercedes instead of a Toyota Corolla, right? Why don't you just buy that and invest the difference? You know, so different terminologies and things you can pick up on, because this business is all about storytelling and relatability. The more analogies and simple that you can make this process, the better that people can actually understand it, and they'll buy once they understand it.
True. I feel like you do a good job of that overall too, compared to most. So if they want to learn more and they're like, you know what, I want to like keep learning and growing in this area, where should they go to learn more?
The SNAR Academy. We have an entire academy built out. It's the only one to our knowledge that is 100% focused on asset protection, specifically long-term care. And every Thursday, 11 a.m. Central, we do a live Zoom call for all of our Academy members. And this is where you can ask us questions. You can throw objections at us, give us case design. And we actually walk through all the stuff that we're doing. I share all of the numbers. I say, hey, look, this is how we've written and submitted over $5 million in annuity premium so far this year. This is exactly what we went through. This is the clients we talked to. This is how we've written a couple hundred thousand in life insurance target premium in a week. I go through all of those numbers and show you the objections and case design, everything. And I basically just give it all away of what we're doing to help other agents out.
Dude, I love it. I'm actually looking at your site now, snaracademy.com. That is snar with two R's.
That's right.
You can literally join the academy for as low as $97 a month. That's amazing.
That's it. I mean, that a lot of that, like, it's covering the cost of the academy itself. I mean, our whole goal is the more people and agents that we can actually help, the more it comes back to us. And it always circles around.
Hey, man, buddy. Well, you've definitely done a phenomenal job of making, of understanding the complex, but teaching in a very simple way and helping agents go from maybe they're living in their truck and they're not earning $7,500 every time they make a sale. And they may be like, dude, I'm doing great. I'm doing $750. That's cool. Right.
Yeah.
I think 7,500 is better. I don't know. You know,
it is. There's only two ways to make more money in this business, either more policies or bigger policies. Right. And so I went from selling.
You probably don't write that many.
Not as many as I used to. When I was selling like final expense and mortgage protection, I was writing a policy a day almost. Right. But now I don't have to do that because the average, you know, you can write, say, one final expense policy or small life insurance policy, let's say $1,000 in commission or $1,500, depending on your marketplace. Or in order for me to get to 7,500, I have to sell probably 10 of those because some people are going to get declined or change their mind versus I can do one policy process and make the same amount. So it's less time in, bigger value, but it takes more experience to get to that bigger value. But that's how you all got to start.
I love that, dude. That's amazing. Yeah. Well, appreciate you coming back. Thanks for doing the SNAR Academy, and thanks for teaching us how to find bigger sales.
Thanks.
Appreciate you, buddy. Thank you guys for hanging out on the Power Player Podcast. What you just learned again is what questions to ask and how to find the money. If you're like, bro, I want to sell bigger stuff. I want to find bigger opportunities and I want more door openers. This was the interview for you.
Hey, if you enjoyed this, I got another one you're going to love. It's right there. Click on it. See you in there.
I'm so excited for today's CA Power Player Podcast. I'm your host, Cody Askins. We got a special guest. He is back on the channel, talking about how to sell life insurance from home. Here's what I love about this person. Yeah, I'm telling you, this will be one of the best.